Paula, it's all over.
I know, and it's, I said I knew it was going to be emotional, and it was just incredible the whole way around. The whole way around was so, so special. And I think I nearly lost it down Birdcage Walk because it really just bowled me over. And I was thinking, I'm so tired, I want to finish, but I want it to last forever because it was just amazing out there the whole way around.
Who was the guy that you ran down sort of most of the mall with? Was he just a random bloke who grabbed your hand?
No, I was looking for someone because we knew about the hand-in-hand finish.
Yeah.
But I'd also been told, you must come down the centre, you must finish in the centre. I'd run with one of the guys in front and I was shouting to him to say, come back, but he couldn't hear me. And then the other guy came and must have been running with us in the group and he heard me, so he held my hand for as much as possible, but he was going down a different finish. So we weren't able to do it, but I did it in spirit. I did say that I would love to do it with Ingrid Christensen, Greta Weitz and Joan Benoit Samuelson. So in my mind I was there, and my dad, because I promised to always run it with my dad one day and we never managed it.
We spoke before you started and nerves would be overstating it, but there was a certain trepidation perhaps about what lay ahead?
Yeah, I mean definitely, because I was coming in underprepared, and like I said, I was hoping that the magic of the London Marathon would get me through and get me round, and it definitely did. I set off way, way too fast, and every time I tried to slow down, people were shouting, and then it just kept picking up again. And then once I got into the last 5-6 miles, I knew I was going to survive. My Achilles was really sore, and a couple of the hairpin bends, it was really pulling on. But once I got there, I knew that I was going to make it in, so I just wanted to savour it and to enjoy it, and just to say thank you to as many people as possible out there, because it is so special, and I'm going to miss it so much. I'm still going to be a part of it, hopefully working on it, but I am going to miss it.
That's the most amateur of all amateur errors, going off too quickly in a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just thinking that there's going to be sat in the BBC commentary box and Brendan and Crummy are going to be just like in 2002. They're going to be going, well, as usual, Paula's gone off way too fast.
I've just been grabbed. My leg's just been grabbed by your son,
Raphael.
So, in years to come, I'm sure you'll show them the pictures of a phenomenal career. But have they been aware? I mean, how old are they? How old are they? Seven and
eight and four.
Eight and four. How aware are they of Paula Radcliffe as their mum?
Well, obviously, that's what I am, their mum. And it took them a while to even realise that my name was different when I'm running than it is in the family, and different to their surname. And so they just kind of, Raph just thinks that Paula Radcliffe is just this different person. Isla gets it a little bit more, and you can see she's really emotional today. And we keep saying, why are you crying? She's like, I don't know. And it's a bit like me. And Gary was as well. It's just, it gets them like that. And I think, I don't know, they've grown up around running. And what's most important to me is that they find the sport that they want to do and they get as much fun out of it as I've had out of my sport over the years.
AP McCoy was in tears at Sandown yesterday. A lot of tears from you today as well. Are you crying in a sense because you can't do it again and you know that it's gone?
No. I said I wasn't going to cry and you're just about to make me cry now, because I think I spent enough time in my career crying, although someone did tell me there's a difference between sad tears and happy tears. I think it was Chris Evans, and he said the happy tears don't taste salty. But no, I'm genuinely happy. I do think that I've been, yes, there's been some disappointments in my career, but I've been so lucky to have a career that I've loved it, and I've had so much fun, and it's been my hobby, and I would have been doing it anyway. It's not even the end. It's just that I'm not going to be competitive anymore because I'm too old and too slow. But I'm still going to be out running, and I'm still going to be getting as much as I can from there.
Listen, people want to usher you away, but can I ask you one final question? Can you imagine the moment when, you know, in 10 years' time, because you will still run, you will never not run, that you think, actually, you know, I'd almost be happy to jog around. Maybe, now here's the thought. Here's the thought, isn't it? And you can see what I'm pointing at now.
Yeah.
Here's the thought when...
Well, that's what I did say with my dad.
Age 20, as you were saying with your dad.
Yeah.
You've got a daughter age 20 and she says, Mum, let's run the marathon together. Would you fancy that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and that's part of the reason why. I know my body can't withstand the stresses of training for it properly anymore, and I can't be competitive, and I don't want to sacrifice that. I want to have that opportunity to be able to do that. I want it, even if she just says, Mummy, can we just go for a run on a Sunday morning? I want to be able to do that, and I don't want to lose that by sacrificing my body.
Enough tears. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Many, and thanks from everybody for all the fun.
Thank you, everyone.